Hey, Fresno, what time is it?
It's time to Stir It Up!
Welcome to Stir It Up, a weekly program produced by a collective of local activist organizations in Fresno. Please join us as we educate, agitate, and pontificate.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Stir It Up. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls. And today we're going to be covering this huge event that's going on in Fresno, where the city of Fresno is doing a demolition of the homeless encampments in downtown Fresno and various points in Fresno. And joining us on the phone is Jesse Spear. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Pam. Thanks so much for having me.
Hi. And just want to tell our audience that you are a student and you've been spending a great deal of time with the homeless in Fresno and sort of getting to know what the scene is there. And also to let folks know that you are in the Indianapolis airport, so we may hear some airplanes or something from time to time. So welcome, and you have been in Fresno and really spending a lot of time with the homeless. Can you tell us about that, Jesse?
Right. Well, I'm a graduate student at Syracuse University doing a project on Fresno homelessness. So I spent the summer in Fresno, and I interviewed 24 people while I was there. A third of those people were homeless people living in encampments. A third of those were officials, either with shelters or in the government itself. And a third of those were activists and community organizers.
Okay. So what did you find out?
Well, one thing that I found out and that I've been realizing more and more as I go back and look over the transcripts is that the official explanation of Fresno homelessness is highly simplified. I came to Fresno because it has the third highest rate of homelessness in the nation, and also because of the sheer scope of its tent cities over the past 10 years. So I was interested in looking at the way that the city is dealing with this issue, as well as the culture of the homeless camps themselves. And one thing that kept repeating itself over and over again was that the city was telling itself very simplified explanations for why people were homeless, who the homeless are, and what the solutions are for homelessness, when the reality is, in fact, incredibly complicated and nuanced.
Okay, do you want to, I'm sure that most of us have probably heard, you know, versions of that, you know, through the media, of course, the Fresno Bee, and at least the Fresno Bee is pretty religious about sort of putting out the city's narrative, but do you want to just kind of like give us a synopsis of what their narrative is?
Sure. One thing that a lot of the people that I interviewed who were either working in the shelter apparatus or in the city itself, and by the way, that group of people is very similar, and oftentimes many people will move from NGO work into working for the city or the housing authority. So it's the same group of people, it's the same rhetoric, the shelter operators and the city officials. And one of the primary stories that they told me and that they were telling themselves was that people in Fresno became homeless because of mental health and drugs. And another corollary to that was that there were so many homeless people in Fresno because Fresno's policies were soft because of the lawsuit. And in reality, I think it doesn't have to do with Fresno politics. It doesn't have to do with Fresno, whether most of the people living in Fresno who are homeless are from the Central Valley. They're not migrating there because of soft policies. Certainly, no one would describe the policies in Fresno as soft, even under the lawsuits and with the effect that the lawsuits have had on the city. And although many of the people on the streets are suffering with drug problems and with mental health problems and physical health problems, social science has shown that these aren't the underlying causes of homelessness, that the underlying causes of homelessness are primarily poverty, job loss, economic downturn, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, and in terms of the I mean, of course, we've had a situation where a lot of folks have not had access to, I mean, certainly true, a lot of folks have not had access to really adequate mental health services or programs that could help people deal with addictions.
Right.
You know, what did you find in terms of the specific people that you talked to? And I would also be curious if you ever, you know, sort of confronted any of the, you know, the official story in any of your conversations.
Well, it's interesting because I think that's another sort of myth or simplification that city officials and shelter officials told themselves, is that there are plenty of services in Fresno, and there are, the people on the streets want to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are they mentally ill, but they want to be homeless, and services and help have been offered to them, and they've been rejected. I heard this story over and over and over again. But the reality is, in 2006, only 2% of the homeless population in Fresno was sheltered. There are actually very few emergency shelters and very few options for permanent housing, considering the scope of the problem in Fresno. And I know I met many people who were scrambling to try to find somewhere to stay. And I didn't meet anyone who told me that they wanted to be living on the streets in the freezing winters and scorching summers, or that they wanted to have inadequate access to toilets or regular meals. There's no one on the streets that I talked to who wanted to be there. But nonetheless, that's a story that the city continues to tell itself.
Okay, and I'm going to turn to Mike for a few minutes, who is our engineer and also source of information on this issue. There's been this massive demolition activities going on by the personnel, the city of Fresno, and I know a lot of people in the community have been out as witness to this activity, and Mike's sort of been heading that up. What can you tell us about the demolition? What's happening? What's not happening? What are the homeless saying about it? What are the city representatives saying about it?
Hi, Pam. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to talk a little bit about what's going on today. Right about the time Jesse left, the city announced that they were going to demolish all of the homeless encampments in the downtown area and not offer people any place to go. So it's not like they're saying, okay, you have to leave here, but there's this safe and legal place for you to live over there. It is just, we are going to come in and destroy all the shelters, and you are like not allowed to live any permanent place in the city of Fresno. In fact, they have code enforcement that will prevent anybody, you know, even if you own a private residence or a lot of property, vacant lot or something, or if you're the city or county or there's state land or, you know, it's public land, the city of Fresno will not allow non-compliant structures to be built. So they're essentially leaving homeless people with no place to go. And they started in and around the Poverello House, which is a homeless center here in Fresno. They provide meals and some dental services, health, that sort of thing. And the encampments largely had grown up around the Poverello House. It was, in fact, the Poverello House, this homeless center, that filed the complaint that led the city to come in and start demolishing these homeless encampments, because they claim that it was limiting the number of people that would access their services, even though that seems to be contradictory, because their services are for the homeless. But nonetheless, that's what they said. They claim that the encampments are dangerous. There's crime taking place there, and so they wanted them gone, and the city agreed with them and started these demolitions, which started right outside the Poverello House. There was several encampments there last week. They came in with bulldozers and destroyed them all. I was out again yesterday, Tuesday, when the city of Fresno was then demolishing a second site, which is over near Monterey and E Street in southwest Fresno. They will continue next week and demolish the encampment that's on H Street just south of Ventura. There's hundreds and hundreds of people that are involved. They now have no place to go. Many of them I saw when I was out there early yesterday morning are just simply sleeping on the sidewalks. Some people have put up temporary tents, which they have to take down every day, but many of the people have more property than they can haul around with them all the time every day. You know, they're not backpackers. They're not nomads. People want to live in some safe and secure place where they know their neighbors and their neighbors can look out for them. And it's a little safer when you have a encampment where people know their neighbors and can rely on them to look after their things. So now that we have, you know, no place for people to go, the problem is that you'll have, say, women that are homeless that don't have a neighbor to rely on, and you will have predators that will find them now living under a oleander bush by the freeway, and there's nobody around there to help protect them. So they're much more vulnerable. There's going to be more problems as a result of this policy. Homeless people will die this winter, and as they did this last year, which is tragic because the city doesn't have a plan for what people will do next. They simply say they can't live in these encampments, but they will. The city's policy is to provide housing through a Housing First program, which will affect about 50 to maybe 100 people. There are literally thousands of homeless people on the street, so only a very tiny percentage of people will get any housing from this policy. The rest of the people will simply be scattered to the wind.
Okay, and we're speaking with Mike Rhodes of the Community Alliance and Jesse Speer, who was a graduate student at Syracuse University and spent her summer with the homeless here in Fresno, which Jesse told us were one of the largest homeless communities in the entire country. So, Jesse, I want to just go back a little bit, too. We have this sort of official story about how people bring this on themselves. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why is Fresno such a doesn't have such a large homeless community and such a dramatic, you know, visual manifestation of that?
Well, last year, Fresno was the second poorest city in the nation, second only to McAllen, Texas, which is a border city. Mm-hmm. And it also has historically had some of the highest concentrations of poverty in the nation. The Central Valley in general struggles with poverty. And poverty goes along with unemployment, with lack of housing. These things are all inextricably related to each other. And homelessness for many people is just one paycheck away. So from what I've seen, homelessness is related fundamentally to poverty more than anything else. And this is a debate that has been going on in the academic literature. Is it mental health? Is it drug addiction? But primarily it's poverty, mm-hmm. because people who are middle class can have access to the kinds of mental health care and the kinds of physical health care and the kinds of drug rehabilitation that people who are, you know, living hand to mouth just don't have. And that easily leads to living on the streets for a few months, which can easily lead to living on the streets for a few years or even longer. And especially in a community like Fresno, which criminalizes homelessness, which pushes homeless people out, which has had historically brutal policies towards tent cities, that makes it even harder for people to get back on their feet and back into regular housing systems.
Okay. Is there like, I'm just wondering, you know, is there any kind of statistics or studies or anything available, you know, to kind of, you know, counteract the story that the city and these, you know, homeless, you know, people that work with them, is there anything like really concrete?
Well, homelessness is traditionally very difficult to study and very understudied because of the very fact of people not having a permanent physical location. And that's actually something that people who I spoke with at the Fresno Housing Authority told me, was that the fact that the city is moving people around and forcing people to, you know, walk all over the city and to not settle in one specific location is making their job more difficult. And the people who have done the most research and the most extensive surveys in Fresno are the people who work for the Housing Authority. So there are statistics on the population of homeless residents, but they're very limited, and they're made more difficult by the fact that the homeless population is not allowed to settle in any one place.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, the data that's available is fairly limited. But I think that you can get, you can glean something from one-on-one interviews with individuals. And one thing that I have gleaned is that people don't consider their tents trash, where the city officials that I spoke with and many of the shelter operators that I spoke with couldn't distinguish between a pile of trash and someone's tent. It's become very clear from all of the interviews that I've done with people who live in tent cities that people's tents are their homes. And I went into people's homes. I went into fenced-in backyards. One woman that I met told me that her home, her tent, was a living sculpture. Another woman that I met, she told me that just because she doesn't have four walls and a ceiling and a carpet doesn't mean that her tent isn't her home. It allows her some semblance of privacy and safety and protection on the street. So this is the kind of data that you get from one-on-one interviews and from ethnography rather than statistical data. You get these individual stories of how a tent is a home and it's not trash.
You know, one of the other, you know, part of the other, you know, a sort of official story that we hear, you know, touted by the people in power is that, you know, the homeless encampments are, you know, sort of breeding grounds for criminal activity, and, you know, that destroying them is somehow going to, you know, abate that.
Right, right. And as Mike said, this latest string of tent city destruction happened actually after I left, but I did get to have a brief interview with the police chief before I left. And I remember running up to these events, there was a series of crimes that took place in the downtown campus that were very highly publicized. And so when I sat down with Chief Dyer, I said to him, well, how many of the perpetrators were actually homeless? And he admitted that only one perpetrator of these highly publicized crimes was homeless. So a community of hundreds, if not thousands, of homeless residents is being moved out of their homes and out of their settled communities because one homeless man was caught committing a crime. And, you know, I spent 2 months in and out of homeless encampments by myself on a bicycle, and I never felt threatened. In fact, the opposite is true. I felt incredibly welcomed by the people that I spoke with and got to know on the street. And I know that a lot of the people that I spoke with who work for shelters and work in the official government apparatus were terrified of the homeless camps. Even people who worked there would drive in and would never walk through the camp. When surveys were conducted by the Housing Authority, they would be accompanied by several police officers. But I really do believe that the story of the criminality of the camp is hyped up and is being exploited for the government's purpose of trying to get rid of homeless people.
Okay. Okay, and you're listening to KFCF Fresno 88.1, and we're talking to Jesse Spear. And I would kind of like to go back maybe for a second to Mike Rhodes, who has been working on this issue for a long time. What is the competing, what the aftermath of this, where are things moving? What is life going to be like now for the homeless people in Fresno? And what dialogue, if any, is there about things that might actually help the homeless?
Well, I don't think anybody knows what's going to really happen once everybody has been dislodged from their shelters, because we're not there yet. They did a brief experiment with this after the 2011 demolitions, and what we saw then was that homeless people tried to start rebuilding their shelters. They would put up tents, and they would put up tarps next to walls and try to sleep under them. The police would come, tear them off of the wall, throw them into the street, and then they would be thrown into the garbage trucks and destroyed. They, in fact, at one time, this was during the winter, I think in 2011 or early 2012, the police came through in a sweep and literally took firewood from homeless people who were trying to keep warm, threw that away. They threw any bedding that they had away. We have pictures of them coming through with garbage trucks and simply tossing things away. It was pretty brutal, and people had no place to go. They were wandering around with their property through the downtown area trying to find some place to stay. What ended up happening is that there was a lawsuit filed by 30 plus homeless people that got the attention of the city of Fresno, and the city stopped their policy of constantly moving people. And what they did was nothing. They simply allowed these encampments to grow, and they provided no services. They didn't pick up the garbage. They didn't provide portable toilets. There was no drinking water. So homeless people were just almost entirely on their own. This is unlike virtually any other neighborhood that you would have in the city of Fresno. Almost every neighborhood has basic public services, except for these people who are extremely poor and who need them the worst. So what homeless advocates have been arguing for and lobbying for several years now is what's called a safe and legal place for the homeless to live. There are virtually dozens, probably hundreds of possible sites where these homeless encampments can be set up. And our view of this is that they're temporary in nature, so that a homeless person could at least stabilize their lives. They could have drinking water, place to go to the bathroom, which is important for everybody, and trash pickup. And plus, then you have where city workers, health department, other people who provide some social services can find people because they're stable. When people are moving all the time, then it's really hard for them to get social services. So that is a major thrust of the homeless advocates in the Fresno area, is to provide, to fill in this gap between the time when people become homeless and they get housing, as the city promises they will get, but they have no timeline as to when they'll be able to provide that. So we're trying to say, until that time, provide some safe and legal place for people to live that have basic public services.
Okay, thank you. And Jesse, we have a few minutes left. What would you say, after spending the time that you spend and having the opportunity to speak with, homeless folks and, the government officials and the quasi-government officials and the advocates, what would you say are things that any of those or all of those groups should think about for the future?
I think there needs to be more understanding of the issues that are going on. I think there needs to be more research. My 2 months there really was only just scraping the surface. There needs to be more understanding of the struggles that people living on the streets are facing and the things that they need. Some of the things that homeless people said that they wanted that could improve their lives are easier access to transportation. You can't take a shopping cart onto a bus or somewhere to store your things because people are forced into a situation where they're carrying all their worldly goods with them all the time. All of these things make it that much more difficult to try to climb out of homelessness. There are so many complex systemic factors that make it really difficult for people who've been living on the streets to try to piece together a normal and housed life. And so I think all of those things need to be looked at, from the housing market to access to mental health care. But I think that this focus on removing homeless people, this focus on removing them from the public eye because they're a hindrance to downtown revitalization and because they are undesirable to local business owners, I think this focus is a distraction. It's not only inhumane, but it's a distraction. It's a distraction away from the really important work of coming towards realistic and concrete solutions, of finding out what needs to be done and working towards doing it. It's not that Fresno is poor. One thing that was said over and over again is Fresno doesn't have the funds to help everyone. But there are federal monies coming in, and there are state monies coming in, and this is horribly mismanaged, and this gets, you know, sent to the police department, and this gets used for other purposes, and this gets channeled into basically private development. So this money is being mismanaged, and the primary focus of the city is distracting from all of these problems. So I think that that needs to be the primary focus. And I agree with Mike Rhodes and with the group of advocates that I spoke with in Fresno that it's very important not only to look at permanent housing, because the Housing Authority is talking about permanent housing. It's on a very small scale, 50 people at a time, you know, whereas there are thousands of people living on the street. But in addition to that, it's really important to look at emergency shelter options. If you're going to be removing these encampments, people are going to need to live somewhere in the immediate, tomorrow and the next day and the next day, while they're waiting to get on that list for permanent shelter. So I think that the option of a safe and legal campsite is a great thing for people to campaign towards. And I think that that's what needs to happen now in Fresno is a very robust movement of community activists who are saying to the city, this is what we want, this is what we need. We need to treat the people in our community who don't have homes with respect and dignity and allow them a piece of ground to be able to set up their tents and their communities. But in addition to that, I think there needs to be further research, et cetera, into what can be done for the long term. So there are immediate needs as well as long-term needs. And in the immediate, I think an advocacy movement is really important. And I admire the work that the people in Fresno are doing on behalf of the
Okay. You might want to repeat the last sentence.
I admire the work that the people in Fresno are doing on behalf of the homeless, and I think that that's what's important, is that Fresno residents and citizens stand up and advocate for their brothers and sisters on the street.
Okay, thank you very much, Jessie Spears, a graduate student at Syracuse University who spent her summer in Fresno with the homeless, and also Mike Rhodes, who's on the controls, and also gave us an update on what's going on with the demolitions of the homeless encampments in Fresno. You have been listening to Stir It Up, and I want to remind people our Stir It Up show next week will feature Angela Price, who will be interviewing Bill McKibben, who is obviously very well-known award-winning journalist and environmental activist, who will be visiting us also next week. So be sure to tune in next week at 3:00 to hear Stir It Up. And I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls. Thank you very much for listening to us. We're going to take you back to KPFA.